Our scripture this morning is Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on."
Good morning. Thank you for having me here today. It's a pleasure to be with you, even if virtually from Virginia. So a billionaire, a widow, and a disciple walk into a bar. Okay, wait, that's a different presentation. A billionaire, a widow, and a disciple walk into the temple. But to get to their entrance, let's back up a little bit. Jesus and his followers have traveled to Jerusalem, and as they enter the temple, one of the great conflicts of Mark's gospel ensues. The chief priests, scribes, and elders challenge Jesus's credentials. Who is he to teach how to follow God? Where did he get his authority? These are, in fact, two of the central questions of Mark's gospel. Who is Jesus? Where does his authority come from? For example, in chapter 4, Jesus calms a storm while he and his disciples are out on a boat, and the disciples ask this question: who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? In chapter 8, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Peter, ever intrepid Peter, with an answer responds, "You are the Messiah." So by the time we get to the temple and the scribes and elders, this question has become a refrain of Mark's narrative. But you see, the scribes and elders have already come to a conclusion about the question of Jesus's identity. They ask as part of a conspiracy to discredit him and his teaching. These chief priests, scribes, and elders were the religious leaders and political leaders of God's people. They were the ones who held the power to interpret God's law, to demand things from God's people, and to set the rules for the community. Who was in and who was out? Who was important and who wasn't? Who had what they needed and who suffered without enough? Now, we already know from Mark's narrative that these leaders are trying to trick and trap Jesus. In Mark 3, after Jesus heals on the Sabbath, the Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. So in this episode in the temple, they try to launch their plan. They send Sadducees and Pharisees and Herodians and scribes to question him, to see if he has the right answers. They try to trap him with questions about paying taxes, the resurrection of the dead, and the interpretation of the law. There could be an entire series of sermons on all of their questions and traps and on Jesus's answers. He seems to avoid falling into their traps, or at least as they would like him to. And he even questions their authority and teachings. Eventually, these scribes and leaders retreat into the background of the narrative, and a large crowd in the temple gathers around to listen to Jesus' teaching. And here in today's text, speaking to the crowd, Jesus denounces the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They seek status and power like so many leaders before them. And Jesus, like the prophets of the Hebrew scriptures, denounces them. Beware, he says, they devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They may appear to have the corner on righteousness, on how to follow God, but they are in fact using their power to profit. They are enacting injustice in the name of God's law. They twist the very same law that compels people to care for the widow and the orphan and the foreigner. They twist it for their own gain and the fortification of their own power. And like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Elijah before him, Jesus decries the abuse of their position and privilege and proclaims the reality that God will judge their wrongdoing. Then Jesus sits down near the treasury in the temple. A billionaire, a widow, and a disciple walk into the temple. Many rich people bring their large, lavish gifts to the treasury in the temple. But a poor widow comes with just two small copper coins. I wonder what the rich people at this treasury are thinking of their own gifts. Perhaps they feel proud of their hard work and generosity. Perhaps they think all the good the money will do, or how much God will bless them for giving such a large sum. I wonder if they think like the rich man in Mark 10, who asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And says to Jesus that he has followed all of God's commands since his youth. The rich man who Jesus says ought to go and sell all he has and give the money to the poor. He goes away grieving. Are the rich givers in the temple congratulating themselves for their piety and hoping their large gifts will gain them favor with God? I wonder what the widow is thinking. Perhaps she is thinking about her current precarious position in the world, about how she is financially and socially vulnerable because her husband has died. I wonder if she is worrying about how she will have a roof over her head or how she will find her next meal with so few resources. Why does she bring these two coins, all she had to live on, to the temple treasury? What compels her to give in a way that endangers her even more? Jesus just mentioned that the scribes devour the widow's houses. Has this widow been a victim of the unjust scribes? Will her needs be met? After seeing this scene, Jesus calls his disciples to him, and they gather around. Did the disciples see all this happen? What did they think of such large, lavish gifts and those two small copper coins? Did they assume the superiority of the rich givers and the spiritual poverty of the widow? Did they even notice the widow in the midst of the crowd? Did they think of the widow's need and the billionaire's power? Interpreting the events at the treasury, Jesus speaks to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has given everything she had, all she had to live on." Jesus draws his followers' attention to the widow's meager gift. He claims she has given more than the billionaires with their large sums of money. I imagine the disciples may have been a bit confused by this claim. Now, I want to note that this story could easily be used as a sermon about giving your money to the church. And in fact, you have probably heard one such sermon. However, I think those interpretations and sermons often miss the point, focusing on the individual actions. However, when we read the story with the whole of Mark's gospel, the episode tells us far more about Jesus's work and the way it changes the world than about the checks we write. In Mark 1, Jesus announces in a thematic statement that the kingdom of God has come near. We read throughout the rest of the gospel the ways that Jesus unveils how this kingdom turns things upside down and reveals a new world. In today's story, we see the kingdom unmasks those who perform piety for their own gain and perpetuate injustice against the vulnerable, like the scribes. And in this widow, we find someone who has given the last of what she had, and the kingdom draws attention to her gift and reveals its true value, more than all those who contributed to the treasury. The poor widow's actions contrast with the mock piety of the scribes. She gives all she has, even at great personal risk, while the scribes act only to appear good. The world order is changing with the advent of the kingdom. The scribes will be judged for the injustice they perpetuate. And then the widow's humble actions, the kingdom of God has come near. Now, in every narrative, we usually look for characters to identify with and a place to locate ourselves in the story. And this story is no exception. Who are we in this story? Are we people who claim piety for the sake of our own gain, like the scribes? Are we like the widow who gives everything, even when it is all we have? Are we like the disciples following Jesus and watching for the kingdom revealed in our world? In reality, we probably are at times all three of these characters. Perhaps we make sure everyone sees us grandstand for piety, justice, and the right way. At other times, we may give of ourselves, even out of our physical, spiritual, and material need. And like the widow, show others the kingdom coming near. And maybe like the disciples, we witness God's work in places we don't normally look. Today, I want to invite us into the role of the disciples, learning from Jesus and watching for the world to change, which may even be a little confusing. What might we see as we gather around and watch for the transformation of the world, the flipping of power in our culture and faithfulness in surprise places? Where might we see the kingdom having come near, like the disciples did in the temple? We may see God's work in the children who face their fears to get vaccinated to protect their friends. We may see God at work through activists from the poorest countries decrying a lack of action on climate change, even from those of us in power. We may see visions of the kingdom in the midst of suffering, of the suffering of illness or loss. And we may find signs of God's kingdom even in the midst of a world filled with injustice. And I know from this passage that the good news is this. Whether we are the scribes, the widows, or the disciples, Jesus continues to walk with us and call us to him as he did the disciples. And in his words, we hear the proclamation that God is at work in our world. May we walk with Jesus and listen. Amen.